Hey, welcome to Heights Church. We are so grateful that you're joining with us. Whether you're here in the Prescott area or you're joining us from around the world, welcome to our online family. We want to encourage you to click subscribe and share this message with your friends and family. And we are praying that through this message, God will help you live the life that you were created for in Jesus. Let's get to it. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Good. Welcome. Welcome. I would love just to look right into the camera and welcome everyone online. We love you. You're part of our online family. Hello to Baghdad and Paulden, and would love to give a special shout out to Mike and Liz in Wisconsin. We just had one of those divine appointments where I wasn't planning to be somewhere and ran into them with Pastor John. And just, I know you're watching, so we're so glad you're with us. My name is Ben. I'm the location pastor for our Prescott Valley location at Park Collective. And does anyone remember how awkward middle school was? Was it only tough for me? It's the worst. I mean, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. You are just starting. It's the very beginning of you just starting to break away from your parents, and you're starting to form your own identity. But what we have going against us is you haven't picked a haircut yet. So you typically have like your mom's like Sunday school part. Or if you're like me, you had this curly like mini fro. Not a good look. You got no sense of style. Plus it was the early 90s, so there's no style anyway. You got teeth going everywhere at all different levels. Because you haven't got braces yet. Then you get braces. It's a tough time. But the truth is, it's a pivotal time. Because we're determining our identity. We're just starting to think of our identity apart from our parents' identity. And right off the bat, I looked for my identity in all the wrong things. I looked for it in being popular and accepted and fitting in. I wanted to be liked. And for the next 20 years, I really struggled finding my identity in Christ. I looked to the world for my identity. And your identity in the world will always shift and change with the tides. But God's truth is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That identity never changes in who we are in Christ. And we've been in a collection of talks. And within this collection of talks, we've been talking about how center of all things, Jesus is at the center or should be at the center of our lives. And when Jesus is the center of our life, our identity is secure and we have a clear understanding of what it is. And it allows us to respond properly to the things around us. And Pastor John gave this amazing illustration of a record player. And it just hit me like a hammer the first time I heard it. And when that circle is in the middle of that record does what it's intended to do. It sounds right, it plays right, it spins right. But even if it's just a little off center, it's not going to work. And when Jesus isn't at the center of our life becomes discombobulated, doesn't it? That record starts to wobble. And so we're going to take a look at that today. Now we're going to move pretty fast through a timeline to get where we need to go. So I'm going to need everyone to buckle up. We're going to have arms and legs inside the ride. And we're going to shoot through some history and some time, okay? So we're going to talk about we're just going to pick up where the Jewish people go into Egypt, okay? They're going to go into Egypt. This is around the time of Jacob and Joseph. They go there because of a famine. Joseph is set up there. And so they're there, okay? Then they're there about 400 years. They're in slavery. And then you hear a man, Moses, that comes up, okay? God brings Moses up, and he's going to use Moses, to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt and free them from slavery, okay? So then you have that. Moses takes them into the desert for 40 years. They wander around. You have Moses die. And then they're at the east of the Jordan, and you have a man named Joshua that's going to take them across the Jordan into the promised land. And then we have the first king, Saul. You have David. And then you have a bunch of really bad kings. And you have a handful of good ones. And this is over hundreds of years. Okay, but it's the same thing that happens over and over again. God blesses them. They turn from God. There's God's judgment. They turn back to God. And around and around and around we go. So finally, God says, okay, I'm sending Babylon in. I'm going to use Babylon to pass judgment on the Israelites, and I'm going to exile them out of the promised land, and that's how I'm going to pass judgment on them. He also uses Babylon to destroy the temple, okay? So we just went through about 1,500 years. Are y'all still with me? Okay, so you're going to hear a king that comes up, King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? So King Nebuchadnezzar says, while they're exiling the Israelites, hey, I want you to pick out the cream of the crop. Pick out handsome guys, intelligent guys, people that can work in my king's palace. And four names stand out. You have, four men rather. You have Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And God blessed these men with wisdom and understanding, so much so that when the king met them, he goes, these guys are 10 times better than anything I got. Now, you may know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The names were changed by the Babylonians, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. We're going to look at how the enemy tries to confuse our identity and who we are. And so that's going to bring us to where we're at today. We're at Daniel 3. Okay, so right off the bat at Daniel 3, you have King Nebuchadnezzar. He makes this gold image. They don't really explain what it is. They think it was the image of a man, but they do give the dimensions. It's 90 feet tall, it's 9 feet wide, and it's a gold image, okay? So he calls all of the officials and treasurers and the governors, just everyone that ran the nation, and says, hey, we're going to dedicate this, and when everyone hears the instruments, I want you to bow down to this image I have set up, okay? So immediately you see somebody that's not centered on the one true God, because when we're not centered on the one true God, we become the center. Our identity gets misplaced. We look to self-glorify. We are the cause of the success. We are what matters. It is about what I want. It is about how I feel. Me, 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 I. What I don't want to happen is for you to dismiss this part. It's really easy to say, well, that was Babylon, man. They were the worst. Or I would never make a gold image. I would never do that. And I honestly believe we do it more than we realize. I believe that we can be saved and have a relationship with Jesus. And in areas of our life, it can get off center. I know I have been guilty of confusing God's glory for my own. I've had to repent and ask God to restore me. I remember growing up, my father was super successful businessman in the 80s. He was in the stock market and futures, and honestly, he could do no wrong. Everything he picked turned to gold. Our family was blessed. And one time, my mom had went and met him at his office, which was very unusual, and she was waiting on some women to come. They were all going to go have lunch. So when they get there, my dad walks my mom out. My mom and dad did not know a friend of a friend. And she walks straight up to my dad and goes, I'm sorry for this. I know I don't know you, but I have a word from the Lord. And she goes, the Lord is going to bring you down low. And after a time again, he is going to raise you back up. It hit my dad like a sledgehammer. My dad was saved. He has had the single biggest impact as a human being on my walk with Christ out of any other human. But he was hit like a sledgehammer because he knew in that moment he had replaced God's glory for his own. He was the cause of his success, not God. It was because of how intelligent and smart he was, not God's sovereignty or the blessings he had put on our lives. This can happen to any of us. So King Nebuchadnezzar gives this command, okay? He says, I'm going to play this music. You got to bow down. And if you don't, I'm going to immediately throw you into the fire, okay? He's not playing around. So as you can imagine, They play all the instruments, and it says all the people fell down. All the people fell down and worshiped this image. Now, you can imagine that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not very popular. The king had said they're 10 times better than anyone I got. They're outsiders. And the king had elevated them. And so I imagine they could not wait to tell on them for something. And so they go, "King, didn't you pass that decree where if they don't do this, you're going to throw them in a fire? Well, these guys you brought in, they're not doing it." And it says King Nebuchadnezzar burned. He was furious with rage. And he brings those three in and goes, "Hey, listen, I'm going to play the instruments one more time. And if you bow down, I'm going to forget I heard anything. But if you don't, you're going into the fire." And this is their response to the king. Daniel 3, 16 through 18. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up.'" When our identity is secure, when Jesus is at the center of our life, when this vertical relationship is secure, everything we experience horizontally changes. The effect it has on us, it changes. Our perspective shifts. And I think you can see some characteristics right off the bat when you can see people are walking in this way. Okay, so that's going to bring us to our first point. You recognize that it is not your battle, but the Lord's. You recognize that it is not your battle, but the Lord's. Right off the bat, they said, "We do not need to defend ourselves in this matter, O king." The battles we face are internal battles. It is not what's happening outside. The battles we face are an inward battle, and they affect our external responses. Think about a bad boss. A boss that treats you unfair, you're not paid right. Maybe there's a car payment you're really struggling to pay. The battle isn't the car payment, it's that internal dialogue and wrestling with yourself of how you're gonna pay it. Maybe that's an unethical way. Maybe it's a relationship that's gone wrong. Maybe it's a spouse that you can't forgive because they actually did something wrong. Ephesians 6 says, "Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. It's against the powers of this dark world, and it's against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." The problem's not our boss, it's not our spouse, it's not the car payment. It is the internal struggle and battle, knowing that those things are the God's, they're the Lord's to fight, not ours. And it will change our response to those things. And these men understood that their battle was not with King Nebuchadnezzar. They understood that. And that will bring us right into our next point once we know that's clear. When our identity is secure, our words are full of grace and truth. When we understand the battle's not ours to fight, but the Lord's, we can have grace and truth. We can be full of it. In John 1:14, it says that Jesus came from the Father and was full of grace and truth. You don't see these men disrespecting the king. You don't see them mocking the king. You don't see them cursing at the king. You don't see them writing on papyrus and posting a nasty comment that no one sees. You don't see that. If we want this nation to change, we should pray that God starts that change with us as individuals. We should be praying and fasting for this nation and for the lost souls. Third point, they knew God's word. These men knew God's word. They said, "Hey, king, whether you throw us in or you don't, whether God saves us or he doesn't, I'm not going to worship another God and I'm not going to bow down. First two commandments, you shall have no other gods before me and you shall not make an idol in the shape of anything and bow down to it." Psalms 1. Blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, and on that law they meditate both day and night. Hebrews 19:11, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Think about when you hide something. You know what it is you're hiding, and you know where it is. So this is my Bible right here. It's beat up. I love it. I don't know where things are in other Bibles, but I know where they are in this Bible. I know exactly where they are in this Bible. I know that Philippians 4 is on the right page in the first column halfway down. I can tell you that Luke 15 is on the left page, second column, halfway down. I can tell you that Ephesians 6 is on the right page at the very bottom and then continues over. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I can tell you that scripture is on the right page at the bottom of the first column. I know where God's word is in this Bible because I have hidden it and written on my heart. We should know God's word. We should be able to pull God's word out at any time. We should be reading big chunks. We should be reading little chunks. We should be repeating it to ourselves. We should be in Bible studies. These things should be inside of us that are hidden and we can pull out at any time, even when facing being thrown into a fire. They knew God's word and so should we. So you can imagine the king was not too pleased with this response. I'm sure he didn't get said no to a lot. And so it says he was not too happy. He was furious. And he says, heat this furnace up 7 times hotter than you normally heat it. So when you're preparing for a message, you really play stuff through your head for weeks. And you think about it a lot. And I was been outside the last couple of weeks and I literally would be like, is this what the furnace felt like? I'm sure the furnace was hotter, but this feels pretty accurate to this furnace. Or maybe you've roasted a marshmallow, like with too short a stick, and it's like burning your hand, but you want that marshmallow. Or maybe that marshmallow catches on fire, and that's probably more accurate description of what is going on here. Or when you take a bite of like a hot pizza and it burns the roof of your mouth and your skin feels different. That's what we're talking about here, okay? So it is hot. But he heats the furnace. He gets some of his strongest soldiers and he ties them up, okay? But what I love about this is that they were not worried about the if. These men were not worried about the if. How many times is our condition with God on if? If I get this job, I'll trust you, Lord. If I start to make more money, then I'll practice giving and then I'll be generous. Lord, if you'll heal me or my family member, then I will follow you. I think about my own walk with Christ. Many know, I'm sure, others don't. I struggled with a 20-year drug addiction. When I was saved 14 years ago, I still struggled with it in the beginning. And I remember being in my room by myself on the ground, crying, pounding the carpet, begging God to take this away from me. But God was teaching me that this, if I take this away, you're not going to learn what I have for you to learn. You're going to miss what I have for you. If I wouldn't have gone through it, I wouldn't have been able to learn what I needed to learn, surrender what I needed to surrender, and be transformed in areas of my life that I needed to be transformed in. God was saying that if I just snap my fingers, you're going to miss all the blessings I have for you in the fire. Jesus is telling you, I'm with you in the fire. That is the God we serve. It says in James 1 to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. Because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And that perseverance must be completed. It must be finished so we can have maturity and completion, not lacking anything. These men were so focused on what they believed in. They were so focused on what they trusted They were so secure in their identity in the one true God that they did not even recognize the negativity, the danger of their circumstances, and it did not have a negative impact on their behavior. Who in this room has walked through a trial? Who in this room has had suffering in their life and known that God's hand was on it? That he loved them, that they grew from it, and it was for their good. If you're one of those people, could you say amen?
Amen.
That's the God we serve. That is what our God does. And so these men are facing that. They're tied up. The furnace is heated. Some of his strongest soldiers take them to the furnace, and it says they were fully bound, completely bound and clothed, and they threw them in, and they fell into the furnace. It was so hot that the men that threw them in died from the heat. And it says they fell in. Daniel 3:24-27. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. God was faithful. God was with them in the fire. He was with me in my fire, and he is with you in your fires. Amen?
Amen.
And what the enemy is trying to do is to get Jesus off center, because the way we respond to these fires will change. When Jesus is at the center of our life, we respond correctly in a way that is pleasing to God. And I think you see a really clear picture of how the enemy tries to shift our identities. Okay, so we're going to take a look at Hebrew names and their Babylonian names, okay? So we have Daniel. Hebrew means God is my judge. Belteshazzar, lady protect the king. Right here it goes from an identity of male to an identity of female, from focus from God to focus to man. The enemy has no new tricks, y'all. He's doing the same old thing in a different way. You have the Hebrew name Hananiah. Yahweh has been gracious. Shadrach, I am fearful of God. You see it go from a gracious, loving God to a God to be feared. Again, the focus goes from God to the focus to self. The Hebrew name Mishael. Who can compare to my God? Meshach, I am despised and humiliated. You go from an identity of confidence to an identity of cowardice. And again, you go from the focus being on God to the focus being on self. You have Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. Abednego, the servant of Nebo. Our identity shifts from a son of God to the identity of a slave of a man. And there are people right now believing lies. You think that you're unlovable. You think that you're unforgivable. You think that you're all alone. There are people right now that believe they are broken. There are people that believe they are outsiders, that they've done too much wrong to be accepted. And I'm here to tell you, that is a lie. God knows you and he loves you. We have a son, his name's Jedediah, we call him Jed. He'll be 3 in August and he loves to pretend to be 2 things, okay? One is a dinosaur, and I tell him that's super unrealistic, like that's not gonna work. And the other is Spider-Man. Now, he can't pronounce Spider-Man, so it's called Pinan, which is like the cutest. But what he likes to do, and what we like to do as a family, is we will go to Costco about an hour before it closes, because it's the only time in the universe it's slow. And we'll let our boy run around, and we'll do our stuff. And he'll do these 10-foot sprints or 15-foot sprints in the store, and he goes down into these like dramatic poses. And like, that's not it, but it's lower and more exaggerated, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna embarrass myself. And he does the Pine Am pose, and it's just great, and he loves it. But the truth is, my son's not a dinosaur, and he's not Pine Am. And every night before we go to bed, I try to tell him these things. You are created by God, and he knows you by name. He loves you. He has given you special gifts and talents that are specifically for you. And he has a purpose for your life, that you are a champion and a warrior. And there's some of you that need to hear that. God has a calling on your life. He knows you by name. He loves you. He has a purpose for you. You have talents and gifts that are specifically for you. You don't think that you can be loved? You can, and he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You're hopeless. Christ is our living hope. You don't think that you can be forgiven? It says that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and placed us in the kingdom with his son, within whom there is redemption and the forgiveness of sins. God loves us. It says that while we were still his enemy, Christ died on the cross for us. If he did that while we were dead in our transgressions, how much more will there be for those who are alive in Christ? God loves you. We are children of God. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We have been given a spirit of sonship, and that spirit cries out, Abba, Father. You are part of a royal priesthood. You are an ambassador of Christ, which means that you are an appointed messenger. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This is your identity in Christ Jesus. It says the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom for everyone that wants it. It is freely given, and it should cost you everything. That is the God we serve. He wants a relationship with you. I promise you that. When our life is centered on Jesus, we know that the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. And because we know that, we can be full of grace and truth, even when we don't like what's going on, because we know what God's word says. This is what Christ has for us. I pray that you seek those things this week. Where are you with those? Is your life centered on Christ? If you're saved, where are there areas in my life where I'm not centered? We need but to repent and ask God to restore us. And if you don't know Jesus, all those truths still apply to you. You need but to seek and find. You need but ask and receive. Knock and the door will be answered. God has a desire to know you and wants to be with you, and he wants to be in the fire with you. He wants to carry the burden. He's there. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I just thank you so much that your truth is unwavering, Lord, that it is not dependent on us, that you do not deal with us as we deserve, Lord, Father, but it is from your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord, that we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith, Lord, and it is a gift from you. that we don't have to be a slave to sin, but we can be a slave to righteousness, Lord. We are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, Father. I thank you so much for this. Lord, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Father, that we cannot be separated by anything in creation from your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I thank you. I pray where there is false identity, Lord, that that would be crushed and left at the cross. Lord, that you would reveal to us where we're off center. That you would guide us, Father, and direct us into where we have a willingness to step into your shadow, Lord, and hide ourselves. That you would teach us your will, God. Father, that you would lead us to level ground by your good spirit, Lord. I thank you for your love and mercy. I thank you for the family, the church. I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.